Hello and welcome to Build Momentum, a show where we explore thought leadership in education. I'm Sarah Williamson, the founder of SWPR Group.
And I'm Katie Lash, the director of the East Central Educational Service Center.
Together, we explore how to leverage key partners, your constituencies, and the media to authentically impact your organizations and the leaders who champion them. We can't wait to get started, so let's dive into today's show. Katie, hello. Welcome back to episode 2. Today, we're going to talk about marketing emails. So good to be here with you today, Katie.
So good to be back. I had a lot of fun last time.
It was so much fun. Lots of positive comments. So excited about the first episode in our new show. So to kick it off, this episode, we're going to talk about one of your favorite subjects. We seem to talk about it every time we get together ad nauseum. It's marketing emails, the good, the bad, the ugly. So first, whenever we get together, we're talking about superintendent conferences, ASU, GSV, whether it's the TASA, wherever we are. We're talking with superintendents, we're talking with chief academic officers, administrators, and you all seem to have the same thing in common. You're inundated by emails from education vendors, ed tech and otherwise. Pretty much every vendor out there is sending emails. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely accurate. I actually think this is the topic when we didn't even know one another at all. This is the topic that like randomly came up, and then we talked for like literally a couple of hours about this. So
yeah, pretty much. I think that's so true. So it's kind of a daily life problem for leaders in your position, just sifting through the barrage of what's coming in and then distilling that down, figuring out what you would want to save if you save any of those emails and if you implement anything, if you actually respond to them. So we want to dig in today and figure out what's working, what doesn't work, and just really, let's just talk about it. Okay.
Yeah. I hope people listen to this and then they give us their feedback too of the things we didn't think about. So.
Yes. Although we definitely prefer to give feedback than receive feedback.
That's right. Sure. That's right. We just like to give unsolicited feedback. I am certainly not in ed tech. And so interestingly, I think some of these strategies are like what people do on purpose. Like they're told to do these things. And then I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't work. Like,
So that's they need to hear this.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. So, I mean, maybe I'm wrong here, but I can just tell you what it feels like in my inbox or the way that it lands when I read it. So my authentic truth here.
The authentic truth. And it's something that is not talked about. There's tons of marketing sessions on how to email superintendents and district leaders, but firsthand hearing how that feels and that resonates with you, I think is so valuable. So first of all, let's talk about your personal email situation. How does this impact you on a day-to-day basis? Just give us a glimpse into your daily life with emails.
Yeah, I probably should have just, for fun, I should have looked through how many I got just earlier today. I don't have that concrete data, but I don't know. I actively spend probably 15 minutes a day just deleting, which sounds so silly, but it is just to be able to get to the volume of emails that actually aren't like, you know, need a response, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's not for lack of like some of the companies I do. In fact, I am curious about. I mean, there's probably no perfect answer here, Sarah, is the real truth, but like some of them I actually might want to, but if they came in at the same time that I needed to respond to someone else, that one's just like low priority for the moment. And so obviously, again, for that reason, totally expect people to follow up with me. Like, I expect that. I ignored you the first time. You probably should follow up. But then, that's, I think, the moment that probably really determines the what I do next. It's not, the first email or the second email. It's, how the follow-up occurs. I'm not offended that they follow up. I'm just saying that's the moment that I decide if it's going to go anywhere else. And so, really, it's just volume. And honestly, I feel like this is an interesting perspective. I sit in them between, I'm at the Educational Service Center, so I'm often the person communicating with superintendents, but so I am one of them. Like I am one of the people sending emails that like may or may not annoy people. So I'm trying to be real cognizant of it. And so my team and I, we talk about this all the time. I don't think I have a perfect answer because on one hand, people will say to me things like, oh, I didn't see that email. I missed it. On the other hand, I'm like, well, if I send it to you twice, I'm going to have everybody complaining too, because they're going to say, why did you just send another one? So I try to be empathetic with that fact too. But my strategy right or wrong has been, I feel like I've really kept a close hold on like when I send an email, like there is something very important that you need to read in there. And like, I've done that enough times that people trust me now. Like if Katie is going to go out of her way to send one, it's probably something I should pay attention to.
You're providing value to them in some way.
Yes, but I do. Like I do notice, and my colleagues and I, again, we'll talk about this. I probably needed to send reminders, or I probably needed to, if I put it out there in front of them more often, more people would catch on. And so maybe I'm not hitting the whole market, but I say all that just to say, I try to be empathetic, but I'm also on the receiving end of these things. And I'm like, listen, I will genuinely say this. If I was emailing them as much as I get from other people, like I wouldn't listen to me either. So I try to be in the middle of that.
Right.
So yeah, volume is a problem and it's no one's fault. It's that we're literally inundated.
Mm-hmm.
Every company is doing it. I don't know that there's a better idea, but think of how many companies are out there and they all send one, and most of them don't send one. They send 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then where are you? You're stuck with like, what about when your teacher actually needs you? You can't find the email because it's waiting.
No, where is that? It's buried under all these edtech vendor emails. I know. Okay, so tell me some of the worst experiences you've ever had. What are some of those, the terrible, terrible, nightmarish that you just remember because they were so terrible?
Yeah.
What made them so bad?
So probably, I don't even want to say it's the worst, but it's probably singularly the thing that like triggers me most. It happens too often. And I know that I'm an anomaly. I know this. That's what we talked about in the first episode. Like service centers are a hidden gem. Lots of people don't really even understand us. So again, trying to respect the fact that people don't understand us. I get all the time because, you know, on paper, I'm a superintendent. So I get an email that's like, how do your students need XYZ? Does your district need XYZ? And I am like, you for sure use MailMerge and just found my name somewhere. Like, you don't even know who you're selling to right now. And so it doesn't even matter what the product is at that point, because I'm like, and I know, again, the volume of people that they have to communicate with, you can't personalize every single thing, but facts are facts. Turns me off. So
yeah,
I'm done. And I'm probably the gatekeeper to like a lot of other people, of other contacts that you just messed up because now you made me mad. Yes. That happens all the time. And so that's probably, I would say, like one of the worst, only because of the frequency that people mess that up. The other thing that I would say, we were actually just talking about this today before I left my office, is value the follow-up. Again, like I said earlier, but I expect, in fact, for people to follow up. But sometimes it's like, I sent you an email at 10 a.m. Have you read it yet? Are you ready to make a decision at 2 p.m.? And
like, that happens.
Completely serious. Again, I was talking to a buddy earlier. Like she said that somebody actually like genuinely got upset with her because she admitted that she hadn't read the email when they called her on the phone. And they like expected that she had prepped for this phone call that she didn't know was coming. And she was like, okay, I have to prep for. So anyway, she was just kind of laughing about that. The other funny thing, she's kind of an anomaly of a situation at a former school district. She really only had discretion over like a smaller student population, but people would call her. Oh, this comes up for me too. People would call her because she was associated with a very large district. And so as soon as the conversation would start and she'd be like, oh, you know, I only have the purchasing discretion over X number of kids. She said people would like get rude and like, just like, which again, I know that they're calling and thinking they're going to make a big sale, but she said that people just got mean when they realized like, oh, you're not what I thought you were.
I'm out. So oh my goodness.
True, don't admit it is what I'm saying. Don't.
Kind of crazy that's real. Okay.
No, that's absolutely real. Gosh, what was it, Sarah? There's something even the other day I messaged you. I feel like I screenshotted
something. Well, I'll tell you one that you've shared with me before.
Yeah. There was something else that I screenshotted, but probably other than the fact of like, again, probably people are coached through this, send the email, call for a follow-up, something, but seems like a decent strategy. Somebody's probably been told to do that. But the frequency of phone calls, like, holy moly, it has become a thing in which like some of the people who are the most aggressive, it's like on purpose, we screen them now. Like instead of, oh, I need to get back to them, or, oh, I'll talk to them next time. You called me a week later, 2 weeks later, I'll probably pick up the next time, be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I ignored you. But then when people get too aggressive, I'm like, no, you're not going to do that. We're not going to like again, probably a strategy. If you're really, really persistent, it's probably a strategy. But that's a thing
that actually rubs you the wrong way.
Oh yeah, like gives me the opposite vibe. The more that they pester, the more I'm going to actively go away.
What do you think is a reasonable number to pester if they haven't heard back from you?
Reasonable number. I don't know. I think it's hard to be finite. I think like time matters a little bit too. Like It's not the number of pestering. Like, yeah, they followed
in the space in between.
It's like the space in between. Yeah. It's like if I didn't call you back before the end of the day and then you call again and then I didn't call you back at the end of the day and then you call again. Like now it's like, okay, no. Or again, like the girl, the email of, did you read my email earlier? No, I didn't. So I think that's the number of them. Like we have this one guy who I'm honestly not very interested in the product, but I'll answer the phone because he's always very kind. And he's just like, just checking in to see if your circumstance changed. Think of me when you need me. And you know what? I probably will think of him when I need him. It's probably going to work for him.
Yeah.
But just not right now. So it doesn't matter the number. He doesn't make me mad.
Right. Okay. So it sounds like the way that these emails could reach you more effectively is space, time, respecting you, personalizing, making sure they know who they're talking to. Is there anything else they could do more, a little bit more?
No, I definitely notice. I mean, I'm sure that everyone else is the same. I definitely notice when it's to me. Like they know something about me. Like it's not like a, does your district need? Or like, no, it's definitely like, I know that you're a service center. I know that you're in Indiana. I wondered if, I mean, another thing, truth is name dropping does work. If they tell me they know somebody that I know.
Oh, that's a good tip.
It does work. But again, there's this one vendor right now that he name drops like everybody he's ever met ever. And then I'm like, okay. I've learned this from a friend. He name dropped me saying that like we were friends. No. He's called me on the phone once. Like, we're not friends.
Like, oh my gosh. Okay.
And so anyway, that is probably, again, I think it can go over. I hesitate saying name dropping because then I could see somebody really latching on to that and going like overboard. But if somebody genuinely is like, hey, I know so-and-so and I notice if it's personal. But again, the volume of people they're trying to sell to, they don't have time to make them personal. But if you really want my attention, you will.
Exactly. Take the time. So what about phone calls? I know it sounds like phone calls can be pretty much, I would say majority of the time, they're pretty negative if they're unsolicited. But I want to get your opinion on that.
So that's, again, I find this could be a whole like dissertation, this whole topic.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to know. I always ask people their opinions on this because I find it fascinating. My tech guy said he actually kind of likes people to cold call him.
Oh, interesting.
But it matters to him if there's brand recognition, right? So he likes to be cold called about Microsoft's new features, or he likes to be cold called like, but I'm totally making that up. I don't even know if that's whatever, but I'm just saying he likes, if he's familiar with it and it applies to his life, he actually likes that, he said. And he also said the personality of the person matters, which obviously I think is probably obvious, but I mean, it's probably, I would hope that that's a thing that all companies are thinking about is your phone manner, your phone presence. But anyway, I'm not necessarily the fan of a phone call. Oh, one of my buddies too, she said this. She gets irked when people will say, do you have 15 minutes for a phone call? Like in the email before like actually like informing her of the phone call.
Ooh, interesting. I've done that before.
But not telling her what it is. Like, do you have time for a phone call? I don't know why, but maybe.
Maybe I've done it. I feel like I have. That's good. That's good to hear. So we got to be careful on that, making sure you're telling them why. Obviously, they're going to try to sell to you.
Oh, yes, they are.
The reason.
I would hope they, I mean, if I answer or respond, I'm probably expecting to get sold to. Like, I'm ready for it. Like, what are you going to sell me? So I value the people doing their job. Sometimes I'll tell them that too. I'm just like, oh, I know you're just doing your job, but you got to calm down.
I have some feedback.
Yeah. So the phone call thing, that I think that people are a little bit all over the board on that. That's also a funny thing we experience at the service center because, I mean, we do have services that, in fact, I want people to know about. So I kind of sort of like I'm sharing that information, but like I'm not selling you anything. I don't necessarily care if you take me up on it. I just don't want you to say you didn't know, right? So I'm not a vendor, but I sound like it when I'm on the phone. So I'll be emailing back and forth with the superintendent. And, you know, once we have like 3 or 4 emails going, I'm like, we just need to talk this through because this is getting confusing. So I'll pick up the phone and call them. Like literally, we've just been emailing. This happened the other day. This is a very practical example. call the school and say, hey, this is Katie Flash. I'm from the East Central Service Center. I'm emailing with so-and-so as we speak, and I'm getting confused, and I just wondered if I could talk to him. Well, then she was like, what's your name again? Let me see if he's available. And I'm like, okay, I'm totally getting screened because I do that to people too. But so I guess, again, I can empathize, I think, sometimes with the companies. I'm like, yeah, I know what they're doing to me. But I am not at all trying to sell something. One more thing on phone calls and then I'll calm down. Another thing on phone calls is when this happens a lot too, Sarah, I think it'll surprise you. People will call and like act like we are the best of friends to my secretary. Like, hey, is Katie there? Just wondering how she's doing. I hadn't talked to her in a while. Like, so my secretary's like, oh, that.
Wow.
She must know this person. I've never met that person in my life. Like, and so.
Wow.
It works, I guess.
Clever. Like, yes.
It works. But then when I get on the phone, then all of a sudden it's a sales pitch. And because then, yeah, my secretary, or for me, it's mostly my business manager. She's like, are you expecting so-and-so? I'm like, don't know what you're talking about. She's like, well, they know you. No, they don't. No, they don't.
No, they don't. Oh my gosh. So
probably, again, probably effective, truthfully, because it does get past my secretary.
I mean, these are actually good tips for being sneaky. So we're helping you out, people.
You want that reputation, but you want to get through? Maybe it works.
Try that. Try that. Apparently it does work. Huh. Okay. So what are some descriptions or phrases, we've talked about this before, that you absolutely detest, that rub you the wrong way, that you think just are not effective, that a lot of vendors actually think are effective? I know what you're going to say, but you say it. Tell me.
Yeah. This one is like a pet peeve. I totally get why, by the way. Like, yeah. I get why people use this one. It's just everyone uses it. So it's like completely worn out and is the like, oh, we don't sell to schools. We're their partner, or we're their like, we work with, like, I don't even know. Partner is the most common word, but there's other words that they often like slip in there that's like, you know, we're here as your teammate or something, right? Again, I get it. I get what you're saying. But like, maybe once we have an established relationship, I feel that way. But like,
right,
we're not that right now. Like, I don't know.
So, we're not there yet.
We're not there yet. We're just dating. Like, we're not boyfriend, girlfriend yet. Like, we're just getting to know one another. So anyway, that's a pet peeve of mine. Again, not because it's a bad idea. It's just so worn out. Like, no, no, no. If you're trying to sell me something, and let's just acknowledge that that's true. And that's okay. That's okay.
Yes.
Because that's what we're doing here. We're here to sell stuff. And we know. And I'm here to maybe buy something. And that's okay.
Oh my gosh, you're cracking me up. I know. I think that that's so smart. I think vendors who use that word often think that they're unique in the offering that they provide and the use of the word. Whereas it's good and helpful to know that almost everyone uses that word. So let's think of another word.
I've actually shared that with you before. Like, yeah. I'm not making this up. Like, I could go to my emails right now and search the word partner or teammate or friend or whatever. And I could find multiple of all of those right now. And so I don't know. I don't know what the better word is, but there's got to be one.
I know. Or just don't pretend, like you said, just be clear. You know, we know what we're doing here. And like you said, also to give credit to, there are times when you are partners with your vendor where they're amazing. They're amazing partners. You want to do case studies with them. We write the case studies for these partners.
Yes.
They are true partners for these clients. And there's no doubting that.
Yes.
But in the sales process, slow your roll on the, we're so close to you. Like, just take it down a notch.
Yeah. Actually, like, I would be likely to come up, like, use the word partner if I felt strongly about a product that I was using and like, I want to get you in front of my superintendents, or I want to get you, like, I might come up with that word and say, you know, we've been partners on some things lately. Like, don't come in as explaining to me how you're already that. I don't know. It's so fascinating to me how frequently that occurs. But yeah, once we've been working together for a few years. Yeah.
Any other words or thoughts, things to avoid?
I mean, I guess this probably in the same question is the one about like, know who the person is. Like, when you say, does your district need X? Or, I mean, I guess I could be a service district. It's not that. That's probably not a good example. It's like, clearly they're talking about a very specific situation that just does not even occur in a service center. So probably doesn't apply. And I guess I say that, I bring that up again to say, I think that's true in some of the districts I serve. Like, some of the language or words used, maybe something just for people to be aware of. Some of the words used maybe apply to a big district. And I have a lot of really small districts. So like that will get people's attention too, like in a negative way. They'll be like, could you connect me with your director of elementary education? And my superintendents are like, is this real? Like, you don't know who you're selling to. Like, it's me and my elementary principal and my high school principal. Like, again, you don't know who you're selling to. Like, those types of things, I think, again, nothing wrong because there's plenty of districts who do have that. And I totally just made that one up. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think that could be those phrases like that that just don't apply to the person is like really quickly going to get a good delete.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Well, what can people do? So obviously they need to reach district leaders. People need to sell their products. These sales reps are charged with making sales. What's a better way to reach them? And what are some of those good examples of emails that you've actually, have there been good emails? Has there ever been an email where you were like, wow, I'm interested? Are you an education leader, the leader of an ed tech company, or a member of an organization supporting education? We continue to hear from leaders like you who have a story to tell, a message to share, or an important initiative that needs greater awareness. 3 years ago, that's exactly what we heard from Doug Roberts, the CEO of the Institute for Education Innovation, when he approached SWPR Group. This led to the launch of a groundbreaking new award that was unlike any other in EdTech. The SWPS Choice Awards, judged exclusively by K-12 superintendents, set IEI on a path to market dominance, increasing vendor partners and superintendent members by more than 30% year over year. Jamie Candy, the CEO of Edmentum, shared with SWPR Group the EdTech company's desire to tell district success stories and to elevate the leaders behind their organization in a more thoughtful and strategic way. Throughout the past 2 years, SWPR Group has established consistent and regular media coverage, authored compelling op-eds, and secured interviews highlighting success stories while also inserting Edmentum into timely topics like AI with national reporters. At SWPR Group, we provide public relations, communication strategies, and thought leadership support for today's change makers and the brands they champion. We work together with our clients to bring their mission to life by consistently delivering high-quality content, creative communication strategies, and transformational results. What story do you want to tell? Reach out to us using the link in the show notes or visit our website at swpr-group.com.
Yeah. Well, this is not specifically an email. I don't even know that this is like probably not the advised strategy, but I even called Sarah the other day and told her this because it caught my attention. It was actually like an ad that was on like some social media, maybe even like LinkedIn, but this ad came through. It was like a resource guide type of thing. And it was like very much like the need I had in that moment is the perfect storm, which again, how to tell people to articulate this exactly, but it was something I had been looking for. They phrased it like exactly like how it was going to solve my problem. Like, hey, are you, and I don't want to be too specific because we're not going to like name anybody, but like, hey, do you have, you know, that's another thing. Don't like say, do you need teachers? Yes, we do. We all need teachers. Like that is the real question. But like,
right.
So whatever it was, they just described exactly the problem of my day and how they could help me. And by golly, I bought it on the spot. Like it totally got me. And I realized, I guess, in that moment that like, tell me the problem that you solve.
Yes.
Let me determine if that wasn't the problem of my day. And if I can like access your material right then and see if I like it, like that is a win. Like, and so that's, I guess, yeah, as I'm thinking about this, like sometimes it's like, you don't know what they sell until you talk to them for a long time and maybe a strategy, but like, I didn't have a half an hour to give you to figure out what it is. And I'm not going to go that far. So anyway, this one the other day,
you read an email and gave that person that company money.
Right then. Bought it. And they can upsell me like crazy. But first I'm going to evaluate, you know, what I bought so far. But that one, they were spot on. Again,
well, let's be clear. Also, it was a very reasonably priced item. It was not a
very reasonably
big expenditure.
Yes.
Just for Katie's district leaders listening.
Yes. It was very reasonably priced. But you know what though? Like I know their strategy is that they have a much more expensive opportunity later. I know that going in, but I'm like ready for it. Like I know that that's going to happen. If I like it, I'm going to get hooked, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And like, that's a good strategy. So anyway, that would be one that totally works. Again, the personal stuff. I will, when it is something that, like this happened the other day too. This is totally was a mail merge, but it got me to open it because was that they were excited to see Indiana. And I was like, what are you excited about here? Open it up.
They caught your attention immediately.
We just probably mail merged every state into that email. But I don't know, something about it felt different. I guess in full disclosure, I didn't reply to them, but it did make me open it.
You know what else you've told me that works?
What?
For example, you've said use words that are in funding programs and use those words without saying, we know you need ESSER funds or whatever, but use the description of the funds within the email so that you know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to write the grant for you.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad you reminded me of that because that one is a definite turn off in like the era of ESSER. Like we're still in the era of ESSER, don't get me wrong, but like when it was just coming out and everybody wanted to get ahead of it. Everything said we qualify for ESSER. I'm like, most things, not everything, but most things qualify for ESSER. Don't like put that as your tagline because everyone just emailed me that same thing today. And most of you do. Like, so that one wasn't sitting well with me. So I think when we brought that up is, but if somebody used some words, and this is not an ESSER thing, but I think of it like the title programs, like specifically Title III comes to my mind. Like when, instead of saying like, we qualify for Title III, but like if you're, you know, our product has been shown to be very effective with English language learners. And if you say a lot of these things, family engagement, and it serves as an instructional material, guess what? They need to name all those things in their grant. And you don't have to say it's Title III. They know that. And they're going to be like, huh, you just checked all those boxes. I'm going to have to type my grant later. Like,
heck yeah.
This is what we're going to do. Yeah.
I know. That's so smart. That's so smart. Very smart. Okay. So anything else to add to that or? I have one more question for you.
No, that one's, I'm so glad you said that though. Cause that, if I was like personally working with someone, like a company with my no experience of sales, that would be the number one thing. Like I would want to sit down with somebody and say, let's look at Title I. Let's look at Title II.
So
let's
smart.
Look at ESSER. Not what ESSER's, not the title ESSER, because can you even say what that is? No, you can't. You just put it in there because everyone else is talking about ESSER.
Yes.
But let's dive into like qualified expenses and name those. If I could sit down with somebody and do that, oh my gosh, Sarah.
Well, I think you got your side gig. Watch out. The calls are going to come in. Just wait. Okay. So clearly emails are tricky. They're tricky. They're hard to get right, but you can get them right.
Yeah.
You just have to be super smart about it and don't inundate, don't overwhelm. That's kind of what I'm getting. Personalize them, do all the things that you need to do to get it right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But beyond emails, what is the best way people can connect with district leaders to actually build connections and sell products? What do you think is the most effective way, if there is one?
Yeah. I mean, truthfully, I don't think I'm saying like anything top secret here, but like relationship matters and it's hard. Like, if I get thinking of myself in this, how do I get a relationship? I got to email them or I got to call them to like meet them first. Like, how do I? Yes. But like relationships matter. Something identifiable, whether that's the salesperson, you've worked with them at a different school and you bring them to your new school because you know them, or like, and it's really a sense of trust because I guess those are almost interchangeably in my head, right? It's like, it is a relationship of trust because you've shown me a product, like it has helped my life. You didn't bait and switch me because I guess if you, I might know you from before. And then when I used your product, I realized it wasn't that great. And then now I don't trust you. But anyway, no, I mean, I think that relationship and trust is interchangeable.
Yeah.
Like we know exactly what we're buying, what we're using it for. Like, so obviously where you and I met, Sarah, like there are companies that will help connect superintendents too. Ed tech companies. Like, I think another thing that has often worked for me, again, not even just in my role of service center of trying to tell people what I do, but also like when I go to things, I'm noticing a lot more companies are leading the professional development or companies are leading, like writing the op-ed or like, I mean, I guess again, Sarah, you guys do that for people, so I shouldn't. But what I notice about that is when it's done well, I leave totally sold to, and I don't even know I was sold to.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for saying that. I just got done having a conversation about this. It's what we preach every day. And it's so good to hear from you that you don't have to have a client. You don't have to have a vendor on a panel to make an impact. In fact,
no.
If there's only district leaders on a panel and another influencer or someone who's moderating a conversation, you're going to have a lot more impact if the company comes up than if a company member is sitting on that panel. Do you agree?
Absolutely, I agree. I guess that's, you said that much more artfully. If I guess what I was trying to say is when it's flashy and selling to me, then I'm being sold to. And again, maybe that's okay. But like, I guess, again, it's kind of like the guy who keeps calling me and saying, you know, I'm here for you when I need you. Like, he is selling, but he just, I know what he does. I know that when I'm ready, like, I know who to call. I'm familiar. There's relationship there. And in the same way, like a panel or an article, like when I read that and I'm like, you know what? When I have this need, I'm going to call these people. But yep. Not because they're like, so will you sign tomorrow? Sign this PO? No. Like, it's, until I'm sure that that's the slow game.
It's the long game. That's, so what you just summarized is thought leadership. And that's everything that's what this podcast is all about. And it's everything that we do in PR. It's building that thought leadership platform where it's byline articles, it's panels, it's award submissions, and it's bringing district leaders into the fold without directly selling to them. You're bringing them into conversations that you're having at conferences, mm-hmm. and you're bringing them into conversations that you're submitting to editorial about timely events that are going on, getting their opinions, even if they're not clients. I think that's very much worth it.
Maybe more effective, uh-huh. quite honestly.
Yes.
Like, they're going to feel like their voice is heard. Like, they're going to feel like, oh, I really love to. I mean, this is not a strategy for everyone, but like, this is thought leadership. But there are companies, you know, that like, it is not a show. It is genuine of like, if we made this feature change, would you like that type of question?
Oh, and then they do it. Focus group kind of thing.
Yes. But then it's not just like, you know, it wasn't just a empty question. It was like, then they act. I'm like, this, they can meet my need here. And so that always impresses me. And truthfully, probably a lot of companies could do that. And they just maybe, I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day. I really like what they're doing a lot. And I was like, could you just like have a specific need case or, you know, use case? And they're like, nope, that's not in our scope. I was like, okay, bye. And that's okay. Yeah. I respect that completely. Like if folks want to stay right in their scope, but if it is something that they could, if, again, I'm no coder or anything, but if it was like something that was doable, I think that that just speaks volumes. And guess what? Then I'm going to go tell every superintendent that I have that they're really accommodating, mm-hmm. and that they, and that totally works. Oh, and, but again, yeah. I guess that's probably at the core more of like the relationship side of this is what you're saying. Op-eds, thought leadership, gathering feedback.
Panels.
And then that leads to the sale, not what the email said.
Yes. Right. And it also cultivates goodwill and showcases those happy clients in front of new audiences and bigger audiences. So thank you for saying that. That is, it's very cathartic for me to hear.
You're welcome. I really didn't plan that. Like, I'm glad that that worked for you.
It did. Thanks. Katie, okay, we didn't solve the world's problems, but I think we distilled down some tips, some strategies if you want to be slimy and sneaky to give you some good ones.
Told you wasn't work, just like, you know, maybe you leave later not with the outcome you wanted, but it worked.
But it worked. Also some good tips. And we want to hear from you, listeners, about what works for you, what hasn't worked, and if any of these strategies work moving forward. So keep us in the loop.
Yes. I'm so glad. Yes. You know, this is the thing I love to talk about. But now I've told you this. My husband is now in the like sales role. And so we brainstorm about this. And so he'll tell me, he's like, yeah, you know, like sometimes like that is like a notable strategy, but I often wonder, like, is part of the reason that it's not a notable strategy is because everyone's using the same strategy. So it just like, now we are losing it. Like, yes. Does this whole category of what we're talking about today, does it have to evolve rapidly? Like with the times? Maybe it does. Maybe what is true today is not true.
Oh, I definitely think that's absolutely accurate.
So we have to re-record this in like 6 months and see if we feel differently.
I think that's a great plan. I love it. Okay, everyone, we'll stop droning on and giving feedback. We look forward to your feedback now. So let us know what you think of the show. what you think of our tips, and we'll talk with you soon. Thanks so much, Katie. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sarah.
If you're looking for more of this thought leadership goodness for your organization, you're in the right place. Visit us at swpr-group.com to learn more about how we work with education organizations and their leaders, superintendents, and influencers to increase your impact. Again, that's swpr-group.com. Thanks for tuning in today, and we will see you next time on Build Momentum.